Welcome to The Horse, a show hosted by longtime UConners Dan Bushnell and Jenny Hamilton. On this show, we talk to a diverse collection of people about living in the Yukon, what brought them here, why they stay or have left, but mostly, we like to talk about what truly makes them tick. So sit back, relax, turn up the volume, and enjoy the show coming to you from the Yukon's capital, Whitehorse, or as it's known to the locals, The Horse.
Now, Stephanie Dixon is showing up to be interviewed, but I think actually this Stephanie is also in the middle of, she just went through a breakup and I've socialized men and the way that we ask men to be in our culture. And I think often the idea of that toxicity is actually very, very damaging to men themselves. And it's not that men are moving through the world actively trying to be this. It's that we've been socialized in such a way that we've become toxic. But we don't want to be toxic either. We want to actually clean ourselves of that. We want to remove those toxins from our bodies because they hurt us and affect us too. And so when I look at that, I look at a lot of things like, why am I reacting in this way? Why am I stepping into the world in this way? And why am I feeling the need to immediately take an adversarial role with something? Someone commenting that I'm covered in paint is not them being adversarial with me. It's them commenting that I'm covered in paint. And I don't need to take that as adversarial or a put down or somebody, you know what I mean? Like, I don't need to take that as something negative, but I do. And I move through the world in that way. And I realize that it's something I have to address. And I have to address it because, like, I should have full sleeves because I want full sleeves. Because I fucking like tattoos, right? And I like them. I think they're beautiful. I think it's an interesting way to express yourself in the same way that people will go out and choose to wear certain kinds of clothes, which I also do, obviously, because I make the choice to be covered in paint. I can put on a clean shirt. I can have work shirts that I don't, you know, I only wear to work, and clean shirts that I wear out of work. I could have a change of clothes. I mean, but I'm making choices, right? And I realize a lot of the time I'm making those choices for the wrong reasons. So I'm stepping out into the world and I'm making choices based on a reaction to somebody and what somebody has said, rather than making a choice based on something that I like or enjoy or want to do for myself. And I'm coming to this realization that I have no sense of self-care, right? I was watching a guy put on chapstick. I was driving down 2 Mile Hill. I saw a dude putting on chapstick and I went, look at this fucking guy putting on chapstick. And I immediately went super dark in my head. I was like, what the fuck kind of prissy fucking pomp are you getting some chapstick on? Was my gut. And my gut went there. And then in my head, I went, my lips are really dry right now.
Yeah.
And I got a bit of a chap right here. And frankly, I could use some chapstick. And I bet you, like, the reason that dude is smiling and I'm not is he's just put something on his lips that's making him feel physically better. And I'm sitting here going, asshole. You know, and really the person in this situation that's the asshole is the guy that's not looking after himself. And the guy that's not taking 2 simple seconds to make himself feel that much better. Because I think when we take those little moments of self-care, when we have a big thing happen, when we have something more painful happen, we've taken care of all these little things. So it's not, you're not adding straws. You're actually actively trying to eliminate straws so that when those straws hit, you're more capable of dealing with them because you've been looking after yourself. And even if it's as simple as reaching your pocket and putting on some fucking chapstick, take those 2 seconds to do a bit of self-care. And I think, so I'm really looking at that with myself right now. Like, but how I'm handling my shit.
Yeah, and the two biggest things that you brought up in both those stories, though, so with the chapstick guy, every time we make judgments, it's because we're making a judgment based on something like wounded or lacking in ourselves, usually.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, yeah, if someone is Yeah, it's just like into the fray.
We're all good.
But yeah, like that's where a lot of judgment comes from, right? Because we feel threatened, even if we don't consciously realize it in the moment. And that was kind of the circumstance you had where you're thinking like, chapstick?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Right? And then with the other circumstance, when you were talking about the comment about not having sleeves, like not having tattoo sleeves on yourself, that's kind of more about, yeah, just taking things personally. And like we were talking about earlier about when you don't take things personally, you realize they're about the other person and not about you. And so that person might need that prerequisite that someone has, you know, is covered in tattoos, and that means they're a good tattoo artist. Just like some people will say, I won't go to a hairstylist who doesn't have great hair. But let's not forget that a tattoo artist covered in a whole bunch of tattoos, they're probably done by other people.
Exactly.
And a hairstylist with great hair, it's probably done by another person. So that's not actually indicative of their skills. So what does it matter if they're covered in tattoos? Or what exactly. does it matter if they have the best haircut around? It's more what they're capable of, and you have to let that speak for itself. Well, so,
and I mean, and that goes back to what we were saying about when someone gets into a relationship and you don't, you know, like, you're doing your thing, but you're not in any control of how they're reacting to what that is. And the conversation that you're having might not be the conversation they're having or what they're even hearing.
Exactly.
Because in both those circumstances I just pointed out, what they were saying or doing in the case of the chapstick guy and what I was saying or doing, they're not coming from the same place at all. Like, that's entirely me going, dealing with my own baggage, my own bullshit, and my own like sense of insecurity, and moving through the world with that being the basis of my information. So I mean, like, I'm taking something that actually has nothing to do with me and flying through it and making crazy decisions that have no basis in fucking reality other than the reality I'm creating through my own body of experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, judgment is such an interesting thing. Something I've actually read a lot about over the years too, because everyone's been in those circumstances, and it doesn't mean that you're a bad person if you've ever judged, but when you really look at it, in a lot of those circumstances, it's because there's a subconscious threat, might be the wrong word, but just, yeah, there's a subconscious threat basically between you and that person. Like, for example, if, even if you take it back to like a high school perspective, and you know how you, like a young girl might judge sort of the popular mean girls, and yes, what they're doing is mean, and it's not taking away from that, but there's also a judgment there, and they're judging this other young girl, like it's actually because they're seeing the parts of each other that they're lacking, and that's what's actually causing them to not identify with each other and judge them instead of identifying that they're both young girls and are in high school, and it's a tumultuous time where you're learning a lot about yourself. But mm-hmm. I don't know if that was the best example, but that's what I'm getting at.
I think too often we become mirrors.
We do, but we don't realize it. We think we're so different. We don't recognize that we're actually mirroring each other. Yeah. We think we're like, we couldn't be more different.
Well, and when we look at somebody else, we don't necessarily see them. We see ourselves and what we feel is lacking in us based on our judgment of that person.
Yeah.
And then we react to them based on what we feel is lacking.
Yeah.
Which, you know, and I mean, and like, so I mean, sometimes you're not even looking at the people. Mm-hmm. I'm not sitting there looking at them. I'm looking at myself and going, what is missing in me? What am I not doing with myself right now?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to take a second, because we flew into all this pretty fast.
Yes.
So
I didn't know we were on. I'm like munching away, into the mic.
That's how we were. Yeah. So the only reason I'm going to take this second is because we've been joined by somebody else. And so we started off this podcast with me, Dan Bushnell,
Jenny Hamilton,
Tara McCarthy.
And now we've been joined
Stephanie Dixon.
By Stephanie Dixon. So when the other voice comes in that we did not introduce at all, as but we didn't introduce anybody.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, we were all wildly jealous of this salad and your proficiency with putting it together in a difficult circumstance.
That's what I'm going to go down as being known for.
Yeah. Putting the
salad
like,
together.
I was like, that's like candied nuts, smoked salmon, cherry tomatoes.
Yeah, it's so, pretty good.
And
yeah.
a spring mix. I was like,
I really like making my own salads. I can eat salad for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but I've just gotten home, as I told you guys, so I went to Independent to get some groceries, and they have this salad with salmon and nuts, and yeah, they're stepping up their game for sure.
Wow.
So. That was Sarah. Oh. She just got out of a huge meeting, and she probably came to debrief it. We'll debrief that later, though. So, now, go. Yeah.
Do you want to do more preamble or
no, that's,
just jump
no,
in? Like,
this is, that's, yeah, that's, okay. That's pretty good for us.
Yeah. Like it's, I think it's so good to break down judgment at where it comes from. And an angle that I see it from a lot of the times is lack of exposure. And so I'm speaking a lot from a disability perspective and people having wild judgments about my or other people's ability or capabilities. And I don't think it's necessarily coming from a place that they're insecure with, because it comes from all different kinds of people. It comes from elite athletes. It comes from people who are afraid of their ability. Like men, women, everybody. I think it's lack of exposure. Like if you've never seen a person with a disability before, or the only time you have is in the media where they're put in some kind of a victim circumstance, then your entire fabric of your reality and the disability that's woven into it is purely based on victimization, incapability, abilities, pity, feeling sorry for them. So I think that sometimes we do mirror each other for sure, but other times it's like lack of understanding and exposure. And I think that's like can come disability or different ethnic backgrounds, different religions, and just not understanding it. And yeah.
I would agree with that because that's actually come up a lot recently with a friend of mine who came out as transgender, and we've had a lot of conversations about where I've just said directly to her, I don't need to understand the choice that you're making. I just have to respect you and care for you and still see you as the person I've always known you to be, because that's not inherently changing. And so yeah, it's, I think a lot of it is about understanding too, and so the judgments that can come are because sometimes people feel like they, if they don't understand something, then they just get a bit of a wall up or they get scared by it. And if they haven't been exposed to it,
it.
And so then, yeah, there can kind of be that bit of a blockage where they don't really know how to handle it. When I think sometimes it's great to ask questions if you do want to understand something, which is a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or, and also make peace sometimes with also just not knowing what it's like to live that person's life, and that's okay. Like, we don't have to understand everything.
And the more transgender people will be exposed to, the less we'll overthink it.
Absolutely.
You know, and because this, I don't know if it's the same friend or a different friend, but I know someone who's just come out as transgender as well. And the first time that I saw her as expressing or being her instead of him, I immediately wanted to say hi so-and-so and call them by their new identified name. But the thought that went through my head is, oh, is it going to come across like I'm saying it on purpose to make sure that they know that I'm okay with it and blah, blah, blah. And then so I started overthinking it in my head and being like, just be normal. Like, this is the exact same thing that you hate when people do to you. But I do it as well to communities that I haven't had exposure with, right? Like, we all do it. And I think social media is so great, and there's so many communities that are now becoming so much more normalized because of social media. And we see things at such a faster and more dense rate because social media is just pumping images, and I mean, not always for the better, but sometimes for the better. Because I think, you know, transgender is a great example. When Bruce Jenner transitioned into Caitlyn Jenner, so it was just everywhere, and everyone is seeing it, and suddenly there's more things coming out in the media and this and that. And I don't think any community has never gone from being almost invisible to being extremely visible and in the legislature to make policies over accessible and inclusive bathrooms and this and that. Like, I don't think we've seen such a fast transition ever. So I think that that's a really exciting part of the toxic social media time that we live in. There's definitely some positives to it.
But I mean, social media is a tool. And a tool is only ever as effective as the people using it and how they use it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, in to quote Annie DeFranco, every tool's a weapon if you hold it right. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it comes down to that too. I think that we make the choice about how to utilize something like social media in terms of whether or not it will have a positive or a negative outcome or impact. And I mean, and I was like, Jenny and I started talking earlier today because, like, I've been overweight my entire life. And one of the things I find happens a lot to me is that when people, and currently because Jenny and I are both aging, and so as we get older, it's super gracefully, and as we get older, a lot of our friends are starting to put on some weight. And for some reason, everybody thinks they need to turn to me and talk to me about it. And I'm just like, don't come to me and ask me for permission for your excess. Don't think that because I'm overweight, I have insights into what's happening with you, where you're going about it, or how you're feeling about it. And I'm not here to give you permission. I'm not, that's not who I am. That's not my goal. And I find what's happening is a lot of people are going, man, body shaming is really brutal, isn't it? People, you know, people shouldn't be going around telling people how the way they should look. And we need to embrace the fact that, like, all bodies are beautiful no matter what. And I'm like, okay, I see where you're coming with that. I see what you're saying, and I understand what you're trying to do. And I don't think that anyone should feel bad about themselves or the way they look. But let's be really, really clear. If I see you standing on the street and you're smoking a lot, and I watch you bang back 3 cigarettes in a row, I am going to have some judgment based on what you're doing to yourself and your health. If I see you drinking to excess, and I know that you're damaging yourself, and via that damage, you're damaging the community around you, particularly the community that cares about you, I am going to have some judgment on that, right? And when it comes to people talking about their weight, we all understand the overlying health factors of that. We all understand the drain that puts on our healthcare system. We all understand that you're shortening your life. We all understand that you're doing something healthy. So just because you see me as someone that now you're in a peer group with, don't come up to me and ask me to give you permission to be unhealthy. I don't want you to hate your body. I don't want you to feel bad about yourself in that way. I want you to feel solid. And I want you to be okay. But don't ask me to give you permission to be unhealthy. And I don't think that there is a connection between, like, I don't think that judgment is always bad. Because when I look at that, I'm like, okay, look, I don't think that you're actually healthy right now. I think that you've put on a bunch of weight. And you want me to give you permission to feel okay with the changes in your body. First of all, I can't do that for you. You have to give yourself permission to feel okay. Secondly, you're asking me to give you permission to do something in excess that is actually not good for you and is bad for your health. And I think if you're putting yourself in a position where your health is causing a medical issue, being that we are in a country with universal health care, we all have a say in that because we all participate in each other's health because we share in it as a community. You know, so I think we have to, like, really look at certain kinds of judgments, because I know, like, when we start talking about, like, you shouldn't look at people and judge them. But unfortunately, we're always going to. We're always going to see people when they walk in the room, and we're going to see those differences. And be they differences of race, differences, like what Stephanie's saying, with somebody having a disability, with somebody being overweight, with somebody's gender. We're going to see those differences. And I think it's okay to see it. I don't think it's okay to attack it.
But make assumptions about it.
Like, yeah.
And that's it. There's totally a time and a place for judgment, and especially when it's coming to, like, we have this moral compass in our brain, or like this guidance in our brain, like things I want to do, things that I don't want to do, right? And so like we walk through life judging on a regular basis, but it doesn't mean we need to attack. And that's the difference. It's between judging in our brain, okay, I don't want to be someone who does A, B, and C because I want to live my life this way, but I'm not going to judge so-and-so for doing A, B, and C because anytime we do something that's unhealthy, there's an underlying root cause for that. So we don't need to attack a person for it, but we also don't need to pretend it's okay, like you're saying.
Yeah, and when you look at me, you're not looking at me. You're seeing yourself and what's going on with you. And you're not asking me any of those questions or talking to me about that because you give a shit about where I'm at with it. Is you're trying to figure something out for you. So you're not talking to me for my opinion. You're talking to me for yours.
And I think that's why sometimes when it comes to what you were talking about almost sounded like a bit more of a place of constructive criticism. Like if a friend comes to you and is looking for kind of that validation or permission, like you said, to be unhealthy, then I think one of the best things you can do for that person, because clearly they want to be heard, is to also ask them, you know, well, do you feel comfortable with the weight you're putting on? Do you feel comfortable with the way you're eating now? Do you feel comfortable with how much you're drinking? You mentioned that you woke up hungover this morning. How did that make you feel? Because, yeah, like Stephanie just said, there's usually an underlining cause that's happening there. And that's like there's a root cause for that. And so when it comes to friends, because I've dealt with friends that have had, you know, drinking problems or wanted to quit smoking and then they're hiding it, but they're still doing it and whatever else. And one of the best things that you can just do for them, because you can't make them stop, just like you can't make anyone feel anything like we were talking about earlier. You can just help by guiding them through it. You can't fix it for them. But I think, so that's why I'm weary of using the word judgment when it comes to something like that. It's more of a constructive conversation and criticism, I think, where you're not criticizing what they're doing, but you're helping them to kind of critique it and hopefully maybe figure out a little bit more as to how it actually fits into their life.
And I think sometimes that kind of critique and criticism is actually love.
Oh, it totally is.
I struggle with friendships for this because I believe that love and being a friend is being honest with people. And it's how you say it. I don't think I'm ever mean to people, but I do believe in being honest and authentic, in owning your own stuff as well as being honest with your opinion with other people's things. And it's hard because not everyone wants to hear it. And so I think... I know I battle on a regular basis. It's like, is this something that I say or I don't say? And I try and only say if it's been solicited. You don't want to walk up to people all the time and be like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But if people do ask, then I am a very, very strong believer in being honest. And I want that in return from other people. But it doesn't always make for smooth sailing in relationships and friendships. And
I think it's because even if you try to say it in the kindest ways, because I agree with you, and I've had that situation with friends before, and I find myself sometimes reiterating, like, I'm saying this because I love you, and I know it might not be what you want to hear, but you've asked my opinion or you've asked to talk about this, and I can't help but be honest with you because I care for you. And sometimes, unfortunately, and we were talking about this earlier before you got here, is that especially when you get to that place of sort of vulnerability where you're really stripping it down, you're bringing down all the walls and you're having a conversation with someone where it's, you know, it's the bare bones, it's raw and it's honest. Yeah, you're kind of asking each other to step into the same space. And if someone isn't maybe ready to hear that, there's nothing you can do about that. And you still have to be true to the honesty that you brought to it, especially if they asked for that honesty. And sometimes it just takes someone a bit to let it sink in. Yep. And when they take it personally, it's not about what you're saying. It's because they're having a hard time probably recognizing the honesty within themselves that you're seeing. Because especially when it comes to close friendships, you tend to know a person quite well. And so you know when they're acting out of character or in character and whatever else. I think it's more that it strikes a chord, which is the same when we've had people sometimes be honest to us, likely. It. And at first you're like, ah, no, that can't be true, even though
stings,
you kind of do.
You know something's up.
Exactly.
Because things that we know are absolutely untrue don't sting us.
Exactly. Like, and that's where the defense mechanism comes in. And so whenever someone gets defensive, that's almost when you kind of know that you've struck a bit of a chord.
In ourselves as well.
And that you're tapping on maybe like a little fear in there or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have a sign upstairs in the shop that says comfort is the enemy of progress. And I actually believe that. Like, if you want to move your life forward, you're going to have to be uncomfortable mm-hmm. in anything that you do.
Mm-hmm. And be okay to leave people behind, because not everyone wants to make progress. A lot of people are super happy just to sit in wherever they're at and stay there. And sometimes we will outgrow people or relationships and feel okay with that.
Yeah.
Like, because we have to be true to ourselves first, or else it will always end up biting us in the ass. If we either stop our own progress or stop being true to who we are, that relationship will eventually crumble.
And I don't understand people not being honest, because for me, if you tell somebody what you honestly think and how you honestly feel, you don't have to try to remember the game you were playing earlier, because you've always just said who you are, and it's way less fucking energy. You know what I mean? Because I don't have to go, oh, I was talking to Stephanie earlier and I told her this. I don't really believe that. But
I better remember for next time I see Stephanie.
And I got to keep track of that. And I just, frankly, I don't have the mental space or time to keep track of bullshit. If I always tell you exactly what I think and how I feel, I never have to worry about it. You know, I never have to worry that I'm going to get caught in something, because I've always been straight about it. I would have been like, this is where I'm at with that. Mm-hmm.
The only thing I would argue, though, is that, is it easy? I think it's easy for certain people, because, like I was saying earlier as well, often we're constrained by this need or this ideal for perfectionism. And I think that's sometimes why people aren't honest, because the conversation would go real smoothly if I just don't say the thing that I want to say, and just kind of, you know, tell my friend what they sort of want to hear. I'm not saying that that's right, but I think sometimes we avoid the real stuff because then it doesn't lead to any even potential conflict. Even if there is no conflict, if you're honest, it doesn't lead to any of that potential. And I think that's what we can often hide behind. Mm-hmm. Because I think being honest sometimes is actually can be the harder method.
Yeah, I think we want everyone to like us.
Exactly.
And conflict is uncomfortable and mm-hmm. it's tough. And I would say that I think it's a rare quality for people to be straight shooters on a regular basis mm-hmm. all of the time. And I'm not all of the time. I think I'm on the straight shooting spectrum. but I don't believe in saying or doing things based on principle. I believe, I'm a results-based person. So if this conflict is going to be for me to be, I'm right and say exactly what I think, I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. If I don't feel there's going to be some kind of movement. And right or wrong, I don't know, but that's, I try and pick my moments.
mm-hmm. I think that's fair for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Being right, being wrong, being honest is really what, you know, being a straight shooter. For me, maybe it was about 10 years ago, I decided who I would invest in. Mm. And I made my investment smaller. I straight shoot. If people ask, I don't go out of my way to tell them what I think, because typically I'm not thinking of other people anymore. Mm. I'm too busy trying to figure this shit out.
Mm. Did you lose relationships when you invested smaller?
I came to realize that I actually didn't have relationships until I started to invest. Mm. Which was good. So what I do, I know a ton of people, but I have like 5 good friends that I put the effort into. I see it as a disengagement. You know, if this, like you're saying, if this is going to ramp up, what's my intention? Is it to be right? Well, I'd rather be happy than right. So let's mm-hmm. let that go. I'm just going to disengage from the conversation. And right or wrong, most of the time, when I'm in a group of people, I'm not being my authentic self always, because I'm judging all you fuckers.
No, and I'm
seeing all my faults in you. So it's just easier to just be fun and have fun and lighten the situation. But if I really get involved, there are moments where I'm like, okay, I'll engage in this. I'll put the effort in. And maybe it's my short attention span or lack of motivation, or just I'm lazy, really. I just want to do it with so many people. And I've lost a couple of those friendships because they were like, I don't want to go any further with this, because you are honest, and that's okay too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's tough, yeah. I mean, I still struggle with, everybody should love me. no, you should love me when I'm doing what I want to do. Other than that, I don't care what you think about me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
That's it. And be okay with that. And that takes a lot of self confidence and self-validation, and that is a long, long process.
It takes years to learn.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm getting to a really good place with it, and I feel like you don't really see your own personal self-growth and progress until something bad happens, because when things are good, you don't know, do I feel great about myself because everything's great in my life, or have I actually done the work? And I've just recently gone through a split up, and I'm like, yes, I made progress. Like, it's like, I'm dealing with this so much better than I've ever dealt with it before, and it's the first split up that I've not taken personally, like, and it didn't shake how I felt about myself. And so I'm like, okay, yes, all of this like self-validation and learning that only I need to care about what I'm doing, and that if other people approve, that that's great, but it's a bonus, right? And not to have it be needed. So yeah, it's kind of, it's a funny one where it's very exciting to see the progress, but it's a very unfortunate circumstance.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes it takes those tough things to know that you're on the right track.
Well, I learn nothing when I succeed, except for the fact that, look, every once in a while I can succeed. Like I said before, I was in the shop, and there was a guy had a plaque that said, experience is what you gain when shit fucks up. Sadly, I have a ton of experience. But that's how you grow.
That's it.
Yeah. I also like to learn from others' mistakes. And then just go make
it. And there's the judgment piece.
Right.
We judge it for our own learning and understanding instead of attacking the character.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it for this episode. We hope you had fun and maybe even learned something. The Horse is brought to you by Molotov and Brick Tattoos and J.L. Hamilton Productions. Until next time, remember to be kind to yourself and to others.
This was a Brain Freeze podcast.